On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. She is a family nurse practitioner, runs her own clinic in Appleton, and now add to that a first-term assembly lawmaker. You have aligned to Republican Representative Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton. A bit of roadmap here for our conversation. We'll explore policies aimed at helping businesses recover, mental health in schools, and other K-12 initiatives. And we start with her goals in office. Do you live in the Fox Cities? What issues are most pressing? What do you want lawmakers to understand about the impact of the pandemic? 800-642-1234. Representative Cabral Guevara, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yes.
Bright and early, that's for sure.
Yes.
Bright and early.
Thank you. This is your first time with us here on the morning show since being elected. Can you introduce us to your top priorities in office?
Thank you very much. Yes, you are correct. This is the first time I've been with you since I've been down in Madison and elected to this seat. Biggest priorities to you or to this district as well as this state are focused around healthcare. Coming as a nurse practitioner and running my own clinic, some of the things that I found challenging is access to healthcare as well as affordability to healthcare, but also looking at different policies that might affect women here in the state of Wisconsin as well as others. Just bringing my health background to the world of politics.
Yeah, you know, you own a cash-based direct care provider clinic operating on this menu of fees set for services. It takes no insurance, makes house calls. How does your fiscal approach of your clinic inform how you see healthcare delivery, how you see healthcare policy, and healthcare cost in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, the one thing that is most obvious to me is that healthcare doesn't have to be as wild as it is in large systems. Healthcare can be accessible. Healthcare can be affordable. Healthcare can be personable again. And, you know, as I continue my journey in healthcare and talk to others and many of the students that I taught at the UW system, healthcare's turned into something that we didn't necessarily sign up for. And I'm trying to bring that back. When it comes to the finances of it, yes, healthcare can be expensive, but there are ways to go around it that can make it more accessible and more affordable to people. And I've been doing that here for 8 years, and I'm trying to teach other students, other nurse practitioners, that there are ways to do this in Wisconsin. It doesn't have to be the chaos that it's turned into.
Can you be more specific? What are ways around this? How do you drive down costs of healthcare, especially for families who are barely trying to make ends meet and can't pay a cost for a service out of pocket?
Yeah. So some of the things that we do here at our clinic are keep our staffing low. So we ask our patients to be patient and to work with us as we keep our staffing low, but we always get back to our people. We don't have to have these humongous buildings everywhere throughout the state and throughout the district. We also work through people's homes. And so that also can keep our costs down because we don't have an extremely large business cost, rent cost. So we can go to people's homes. We can go to people's businesses. We're just looking at the money that's coming into our clinic. How is it being spent? Is it being spent in the most efficient way? And then we are then putting that cost onto our patients. The other thing that we're doing is when you are able to, so when we think about income, we can definitely provide a fair income to the folks that work here, but we also need to be cognizant of the fact that as a nurse practitioner, I don't need to make $150,000 and $200,000 a year. If I'm able to make that connection with my patients and I'm able to feel like I'm doing my job that I signed up for in healthcare, I find nowadays in the large systems that I have worked for, that connection is missing. And so I'm willing to connect with my patients and spend that extra time and feel worthy, still make a decent wage, but yet not expect to get paid exorbitant amounts that then fall back onto my patients. So that connection is being lost. And so many nurses, nurse practitioners are saying, how can I regain that? And places such as mine and others throughout the state are looking at that as a priority.
We're talking with Rachel Cabral Guevara, who's a Republican state representative from Appleton. We're going to learn more about the legislation, her priorities in office. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Along the lines of healthcare, you want the state to require health insurance providers to cover breast screenings, either fully or with a maximum out-of-pocket cost of $50. Can you explain more about this legislation and what you see it doing?
Yeah. So this legislation actually came about last session with Mike Rohrkast, who held this seat prior to me. There was an individual in our district who had come to him and said, you know what, I am in late stage breast cancer because I had gone every single year to get my mammogram done, every single year. And every year it came up that all was well, it was negative. The problem was, though, she had very dense breasts. And when you use a mammogram on dense breasts, you are not able to always capture breast cancer. And so if she had been offered the opportunity to do an ultrasound as a screening rather than ultrasound only for diagnostic purposes, this breast cancer would have been found. Now, this happens to many women throughout our state. And when we talk about cost and keeping costs down for screening for an ultrasound, this can be a few hundred dollars. But if this is not caught, and now you're in late stage breast cancer when it is caught, now you're talking millions and millions of dollars for therapies and to sustain life. And so for me, one thought, when we talk about affordability with healthcare, early screening, early prevention are very important. And so this bill is now the continuation of the one that Mike did. Mike Rohrkast, his bill's outcome was posting on your mammogram if you have breast dense tissue, and if so, then this should be further evaluated. And now this is the second part of that bill that says, you know what, you do have dense breast tissue. Let's see if we can get this covered for screening purposes, not just diagnostic purposes, for early catch.
I don't mean to tie this always back to your clinic, but what do you advise your patients? Where do you send your patients for their breast screenings?
Well, there, as of right now, mammograms can only, at least in my region, be obtained at some of the large systems. And so I refer them to the large systems. If ultrasound was an option, there are other smaller companies throughout the state that could provide ultrasound for screening purposes, which through my clinic, we can get reduction in costs. If you're paying cash for many things, many of these organizations, many of these companies that offer these screenings will provide you a reduced cost for services.
Turning to another bill that would have the state health department issue grants for suicide prevention efforts at gun shops and firearm ranges. And these grants would pay for training and marketing material, temporary firearm storage. Why do you support this legislation?
So this is a bill that actually came out from Representative Jesse James. And for me, there's a lot of passion behind this because as a child, my grandmother had committed suicide with a firearm. And yes. Mm-hmm. And so I've had the privilege to send on the mental health committee and look at some of these options that might be available for folks here in the state of Wisconsin. And so when Jesse proposed this, I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to train folks to be able to see if folks might be contemplating suicide or might be struggling at the moment, as well as giving them an opportunity to provide, I guess, money for storage. So if there was a family member that was in need or a customer in general that was in need that seemed to be of high risk, this is another option to provide services to maybe help that individual as well as a family. Although my grandmother is gone, you know, 30 years later, I still think about her quite often and always wonder if there was something that could have been done. And I just see this as a great opportunity. And so when Jesse had mentioned the opportunity to jump on this bill, I was right there, right behind him in support.
Well, what about a red flag law? What about allowing family members or police to ask a judge to temporarily remove firearms from a person who's considered to be a danger to themselves or to others?
And I hear you on this one, but I also understand that people have their rights. And so when you get the courts involved, and there have been cases from my understanding that have taken that approach, it could take months, it could take years before somebody can get their firearm back. And when it comes to the court system, I would prefer medical provokes to judge somebody rather than a judge themselves on somebody's mental health status at the current moment. And so it's a challenging spot to be in, because I do see benefit to this, but I also see benefit to the approach that Jesse is having. And it's hard, at least in my opinion, to take somebody's rights away through the court system rather than on a voluntary basis.
But suicide rates among Wisconsin residents increased 40% from 2000 to 2017, and that's state health department numbers. How do you suggest making communities safer from guns?
Well, I will say, not to jump past your point here, but I would say the big concern to me in the last few years since COVID started is how high the suicide rate has increased since COVID came to be. And that has been quite frustrating to me. And I'm hoping that we can get back to normalcy here in Wisconsin as well as the United States due to the increased suicide rate to that. Overall, when we think, what years did you say, 2000 to 2017?
Mm-hmm. So before the pandemic, yeah.
I do hear that as a concern, but I also see suicide in many other forms. And here at my clinic, there have been a few patients that have died of suicide, and none of them have been from guns. I'm seeing it in other forms of medication overuse. I'm seeing it in prescriptive drug use. There's other forms that is just not solely gun use.
Representative Rachel Cabral Guevara of the 55th Assembly District assumed office in January. We're exploring her legislative priorities. Do you live in Appleton, Nina, Fox Crossing, another community in the district? What do you want to bring up with your lawmaker? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're taking bills one at a time with first-term Assembly Republican Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton. A recent statement from three organizations that represent child health care practitioners, they declared a mental health state of emergency for children and teens. What should Wisconsin K-12 schools do to address the growing mental health challenges? Does your school have enough counselors, have enough support staff to meet the needs? It's 800-642-1234, and Representative Cabral Guevara is with us for eight more minutes. Turning to education, K-12 schools, the Assembly passed a bill that would require the state to issue $100 million in grants for K-12 mental health programs, and you voted for the bill. Can you tell us more about why you support it?
Well, as mentioned earlier, mental health is a big issue right now, particularly since COVID, with kids being isolated, kids not being in school. I know they are back this year for the most part. This has been on the incline. I'm seeing it in my clinic. I'm hearing it from the counselors in the community. I supported it because it's essential. Mental health is the foundation of our future in regards to where do we go in our journey. When we think about health overall, most of the time people think about how are your joints working? How is your heart working? But if your mental health isn't intact, the outcomes are more impactful than a hurt joint or a sore ankle. And so this $100 million I feel is essential to get kids back feeling safe, feeling secure, feeling unafraid in their communities. It needs to be granted to all of these communities throughout our state of Wisconsin for these kids. And not just the kids. I know this grant is $100 million for K through 12, but I'm also seeing it in my adult patients. Mental health is on the top of the priority list for me.
Well, what happens when the COVID relief dollars are spent? With one-off funding, it's gone, and the state won't have a means to continue these programs, the level of these services when, you know, mental health issues are really, really dire for children. What do you make of that?
Well, that definitely is something that has sat on my mind. There's always a limit to funding. There's always a limit to funding, no matter what it is, what organization, what part we're talking about. And so using these funds in the most effective way, in the most rapid way to get folks feeling secure and feeling safe once again is essential. I don't have a solution for that because you are correct. $100 million is a lot of money, but if it can be used now and we can reestablish where we were prior to COVID, I think that our outcomes are going to be wonderful. There has to be evaluation. There has to be assessment on how's that money being used? Is it being used in the most effective way? Because when it does run out, where do we go from there? I know that prior to COVID, there was a wonderful program in the state of Wisconsin that initiated mental health services in the schools. And this was a grant program that could be reapplied for. I know Nina received it initially. I know there's many other districts throughout the state of Wisconsin. Unfortunately, I don't have the list here, but that was presented in health committee a few months ago. And that was an amazing organization. And that was an amazing opportunity to start these programs. So I just see this as a boost to get people back to where we were pre-COVID.
We're talking with State Representative Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton, looking at her priorities in office, legislation advancing at the state capitol. Let's go to Chris now in Elkhorn. Hi, Chris. What is on your mind?
Hello. I just had a question about mental health priorities and specifically adults. You mentioned earlier that the suicide rate for adults jumped significantly from 2000 to 2017 by 40%. And a lot of suicides are committed with handguns specifically. And I was just kind of wondering if the senator had anything planned, even outside of gun control. I mean, I heard her anecdotal evidence already, but is there anything that she's looking at for helping adults with mental health challenges? Because I know that's very expensive in our private health care system. Yeah,
Chris, thank you. Appreciate that. And go ahead, Representative.
I would say that at least in my district, there are a few counseling centers in this area that have received grant money to provide either free counseling or counseling at a reduced rate for folks based off of their income. I know that there are community centers throughout our state that also provide counseling services to folks based off of these tiered systems. I have been a support of them. I have worked at them in the past, and I continue to refer my patients to them. Again, mental health, in my opinion, is so much more essential, well, as essential as physical health, but yet I see it so much more impactful, not only on that individual, but for their family. And so breaking the stigma and allowing folks to know that it is okay to reach out to mental health counseling services and to ask for help from your providers is the biggest barrier. There are so many people that don't reach out until it's at the extreme point. I wish people felt comfortable and would reach out early on rather than wait to the end.
I'm wondering, when you refer patients, do you ever hear whether they're able to get in right away or do they have to have a long wait? Is there a waiting list to get in for to see a mental health provider?
Definitely a great question. So here, when I refer my patients, there's two ways of going about it. You can be referred in person, but we also have an opportunity to be referred via telehealth now, which has been absolutely amazing. And that has really come out of COVID. So that is one positive that's come out of COVID. We also had some legislation that would break down barriers to allow counselors as well as mental health specialists to work across state lines and get licensed easier and allow for easier access for our citizens here in Wisconsin to access mental health via telemed as well as, in person. But telehealth, in my opinion, from what I found and from what I referred, there's very short wait for this opportunity. And so depending on where you go, please ask if they have in-person or telehealth, because I know that access is a heck of a lot easier via telehealth nowadays. And it also makes it more accessible. I mean, you could do this at work. You could do it from your home. When I was working at a counseling center here in Appleton not too long ago, the compliance rate went up so much. There were hardly any no-shows because people were able to interact through telemed and or telehealth. And so they were very grateful for that.
We only have a few seconds left, but I want to ask you, circling back to the K-12 mental health grants, DPI would be required to provide the legislature with an accounting of relief funding and how they've used the grants. Why wait to issue grants for student mental health until that accounting is done first?
I don't know the details to that. I wish I could respond a little bit to that. I guess I would say, in my opinion, the sooner we can get this money out, it is essential. This money shouldn't be out now. It should have been out prior, simply because from the day COVID hit and the day kids left school, the day that, you know, I have a lot of kids coming in here with concern over the mask wearing, the moment that this came into play, I wish there would have been funds easily available to get mental health up and rocking from day one. Unfortunately, we're at the tail end of it here, I'm hoping, and we need to get this money out as quick as we can. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't.
Representative, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. If there's anybody out there that has any suggestions to improve access and affordability, I'd love to sit down and talk with them or Zoom them or call them on the phone.
And please reach out to me. News Update is next.